Hi, Stephen Ternik.
Hello, Otto.
Stephen, we are doing a series of conversation interviews about geonomics.
Yes.
And you've already explained that geonomics is basically a different view of economics in which the values of the land, the values of the earth, stand
yes.
central, so that there's no symbolic money or anything that is the starting point, but earth and land itself.
Yes.
You already explained that this has to do with the ideas of Henry George of more than
yes.
a century ago already.
Yes.
And you explained that essentially all his ideas could easily be put in practice if people simply realize that they need to do it themselves, that it is all based on collaboration, people helping each
yes.
other.
Yes.
And today we chose to continue the depth of that story
yeah.
by looking at the applications of geonomics.
Yes.
So please lead us into that understanding.
Okay.
What do you already know about it, and how can we
yeah.
look into that further?
No, yeah. You know, it's not. You know, it's not a new thing for me. I'm wrestling with the whole thing about maybe 40 years. So it's not a new thing. 40 years of wrestling. And I of course saw what happened in Hungary or in Eastern Europe, so no, it's a different viewpoint. You know, I was born not in the East, I was born in the West. I traveled always from the West to the East, and so I'm the visor, you know, they allowed me to get into the whole thing. And I looked into the systems, and of course the communists so they were very successful in getting the land. So they got the land, and of course there was no this, you know, you could not make these big speculations. But what the communists did not realize that there was also no, actually there was no real production. Actually there was no progress, no innovation. There was what I would call a rest of labor and capital. Something is stagnated on some level. Maybe some countries like Hungary, as I told you, went into the trade with Kada wanted to open up, you know. But you know, just only to get the land of other people is not the best idea. At Henry Jaws, when I encountered the first ideas, was from a teacher. Here in Germany, I was 15 years, and he was telling me about Damaschke. This was a German reformer. And the German reformer said, okay, we have to tax these people. So he got his ideas on managers. This was the first time, it was in 75, when I got the first ideas. From geonomics, so first time, and of course, as a child, I said, "Why is this man owning this land?" Okay, but on the other hand, you have to accept maybe they worked on it, you know. So you have to be ethical in this term, or moral, in moral terms, allow you go further. You see the stagnation in communism, of course. On the Western side, it was not such a great leap forward, but it was better. So this is how it happened. You get into things if you start thinking, and you now then you sort out the factors. And I think that, as Henry George wrote in his works, natural resources, land is the first. From there starts everything. Then you have, of course, human labor and your capital. So it starts with natural resources. And then you have chain, of course, of economic chain. Let us call it an economic chain. And of course, people get into the chain and they try to extract value for nothing. No labor. They don't make any input, but they try to exploit the labor. And of course, the Bible doesn't allow it. Ethics doesn't allow it. Why should anybody allow it? And that is my point. My point is not that people have the property of anything. I have land or they own a house. They can have it before. They can own it. But we will tax it. If they have it on a very central location, they will be taxed heavily. And from these earnings, we can finance the public infrastructure. Karl Marx would say that I want to save capitalism. But this is not the case. I just want that more people can live a normal life and not these things that you always pay rent for houses and 50% of your income for rent. That's not a good thing. And I think that if you go further in this, I elaborated this in the text on Israel now, that we have the same problem as Israel. So we have the same problem as Israel today. And so it's natural law. It's not just, okay, you are now in Israel, you have the same problems in Budapest. It's the same problems in Amsterdam. And so from this follows that we have to make some remedies, that you have to apply some remedies that are, for example, being very good written down in the works of Randy Josh and of course other people, Jula Pickler, you have Damaschke in Germany, of course there are many others. So it's a starting point, it is like a young child, you start, why is this that way? Why is the man owning the land? You never know. But it's not jealousy. It's just, you just start thinking. Mm-hmm. I don't want from anybody anything, but just to apply justice. And applying justice does mean that people can live a normal life. And I think these people who come here from Africa, I haven't too many of them here the town hall, there are 100 grown-ups from Eritrea and all this. I haven't talked to them, but maybe it's also the same problem that these people only owned a house and they were not in possession of land. I don't know.
Stephen, I'd like to connect up to that, because in a way you say that it is as if people, after thousands of years of humanity, after millions of years of humanity, still have to find out some of the basic concepts.
Yes.
So people tried the Bible, people tried Karl Marx, and evidently on the one side of the Iron Curtain and the other side of the Iron Curtain, they didn't get it to work. On the one side, people are in poverty. On the other side, people are profiteering. So what is the solution? But another question which comes up with that is, why does the question become so pronounced only now? Is it because there are so many more people that the possibility for collaboration between people and between cultures is much more increased? From the way you've looked at it, where is the turning point that these debates have become much more prominent over the last 1500 years?
I think that at first, of course, if you look at 7 billion people today, and if you look at the mass of the Earth, of course, 7 billion are not only 1 billion. So you have to look at the population maps of the Earth, how humanity evolved, how many people were, the density of people. And of course, you can see today we are more densely populated. Our resources are not so great as many people think. So we'll need great inventors, we'll need great innovators to help us. So it won't be the thing that people think that it will move forward. But I think that the territorial behavior, if you go somewhere, I have now moved here to, I have lived 15 years, you can call it Munich, and then I moved out here two or 3 kilometers only from the town to some rural conditions, and the people are absolutely different, and they have territorial claims. So you come to their place, So it's something like you as a foreigner, even if you live 15 years, only 2 kilometers, they claim it. This is a modern society. But the claim is you came to move here. So human beings are, to a very certain degree, territorial psychology. They have a territorial psychology that I experienced here. And this makes, please.
Yeah. Stephen, does it mean that in a way, in the last 100 years, people are growing out of being animal to becoming more human? That the animal part of territorial control has changed into human collaboration?
I don't think so. It is they tolerate people on their place or their territory as long if these people can serve them as a new servant. You know, if the blacks are coming here, we have this many black people now. Hmm. As long as black people are willing to clean for them, polish, so to take up the low labor, as long it won't be a conflict. But if the black now starts learning and getting more intelligent maybe than them, then it will be a problem. I don't believe that. This is it's not religion. It is some instinct in the human being. Is and very and some people may be different, you know, they are from generations, you have different, you know. Okay, I also not say I'm proud of them or I like them, but okay, if they comes a guy and he now wants to get with my daughter, I wouldn't say no, you know. That's the difference, you know. For these people, they are liberal as long as you don't want my daughter.
I'd like to connect up to something which we all experience in growing up from baby to child to adolescent to adult. Evidently, we all realize that as a baby, we are totally dependent on the world around us.
Yes.
But we also need the advance, the cultural advance, social advance of the people around us to be able to grow up to that level.
Yes.
And likewise, there will always be people who are already a step ahead of the social development of that era, and that it is a matter of finding out which people can open new gates, new understanding, new vistas of roads that we can explore next. And Henry George is for you one of those people who showed a road sign of a path that we could walk by.
Definitely.
And you compared to what happened in Hungary, compared to what happened in Germany. So basically you looked at the two sides of the border of communism and capitalism.
Yes.
But still for you, the understanding of Henry George is relevant. And that's why you said, okay, now let's look at the geonomics and application. Mm-hmm. Are there examples of geonomics as it has been used, as it can be used, so that people can get beyond that territorial level that everybody has been used to, to a level of what Lynn Margulis has called symbiosis?
Yeah, the problem is that on a small scale it happened. You know, on a small scale these communities work very well.
Mm-hmm.
On a small scale these communities work very well and people can live a quiet and peaceful life. But from this community, a greater society did not change. Look at Arden, Delaware. You have Arden, Delaware, you have the same. It worked and it was a small community, and, but you know, you, the whole of the US went different. It went a different path. And it may be that at the times this was too new, and people had to go to the manufacturing industries. You had the coal mines, Pennsylvania, Bethlehem Steel, all these things you had. And maybe this was necessary. I don't know. But maybe it was necessary. I don't know if it was necessary, but we have examples of working communities. If these communities could work on a large scale, I think it's possible if okay, we have one problem with this single tax. If people are say, okay, we have the single tax, we can finance. Or if you have a state, like here, for example, in Germany, this state you will never finance by a single tax. It's too big. Because the need for the weapon production, they need the taxes. They're producing weapons here and they sell it. They don't apply it to their own territory. And for this, you cannot use a Georgist philosophy. Georgist philosophy is only applicable to communities that don't want, for example, to produce weapons on a large scale, or all these things that are actually not good for the environment, not good for the human environment. So it's
Stephen, I'd like to
yes,
see if you
please.
can go back to the
Yes.
positive side of the story.
Positive
And at the
side.
moment, I don't know a good switch because I know that yes, there were such communities in different countries, and
Yeah.
then actually the different religions just killed them off.
Yeah.
There were tribes in South America which lived in that manner. The native Indians lived in that manner. There are
Lots of
many
positives.
examples of
Yeah.
that. And there's also examples of communities that started to become productive, and then instead of growing up as a larger community in the sense of what Henry George was looking at, they were taken over by an industry. And it is basically the shift from somebody controlling a large group of people or the
Yes.
large group of people controlling themselves. And one of the few examples that I know of is the work that's been done in South America, where companies are now working as corporations. The money that comes in is shared back into the system. The people help educate each other. They support each other and themselves. And as a result, that industry or company now operates as a community and as a cooperation, and turns out to be much more flexible, much
Yes.
more adaptable, much more effective.
You have in the Basque country, you have Mondragon as an example. It employs more people than any other company in Spain.
Can you tell some more about that?
Yeah, it was. If you like it or not, it was being established by a Catholic priest. And the Catholic priest read about the Bible and about the economic laws in the Bible. And he founded this cooperative, Mondragon. Today it has about 150,000 employees. So it is possible to establish not only a company was following these laws that are explicitly mentioned in the Bible, Moses 3, chapter 25. So you have a Catholic priest who established something very valuable, and today is the largest company in Spain, Mondragon. I don't know about the name and how they they choose it. I don't know how the name came about, but you have a lot of examples. And you ask now maybe about the large scale problem. How can we make a large scale transformation? This is, I think, will be because we have to consider three steps. One step is that I have been writing about in the economic, eco-energetic point of view, about that you don't give the banks the collateral. So we have the test. Maybe you also have the chance to read it. I have to get it. Okay, the removal of the natural resources for bank loans, land value, public revenue. So you make land value public revenue. You have all
so,
my,
but that means, Stephen, that essentially it is not just a change of a way of thinking and a way of acting together, but also it needs to be written down in a form of a law
for other people
to work with or to understand
respect. I call it legal reform steps. These are legal reform steps. No revolution is necessary. You just make three important legal reform steps. The first is to remove the natural resources as a collateral for bank loans. Land value becomes public revenue. A very important point. If you look at the tax actions, 80%, even more, it's being done in land value.
Okay, so the first point is Earth is collectively owned. In fact, Earth has no owner. We're just stewards of the Earth. So nobody can claim ownership of any part of it.
Yes, and important is the revenues for us. It's a public revenue. It's a public revenue. It's very important. The second step is we decrease labor taxation. So, of course, labor will be taxed to some extent. This has to be shown not as today, as I am paying, for example, almost 50%. So it's not normal that I pay 50%. So maybe I would pay 10, like a laborer on the lands in the ancient times. And we increase the taxation of capital gains, interest. So the main problem is that labor is taxed too much, too heavily, almost to 50%, and as these guys get over, you know, the taxation of capital gains has to be done, and interest, if they want to gain interest, they can try to gain it, but then, of course, have to pay taxes, and then they maybe are no more so much motivated to doing that.
Well, maybe we can just shift the understanding of taxation, because taxation is coupled to a very abusive principle. Basically, it's the Vikings coming into the land and taking away everybody's resources because they pillaged the village after the harvest. But the other version of it is that people share share the abundance that they individually create, so that they can mutually support each other. And this is also the work of Jared Diamond on the origination of cultures. People require spare time so that they can think up new ideas and become more effective and more efficient, more aesthetical, more ethical in what they do. And that, of course, changes the whole quality of the culture. Then sharing is the essence and not taxation. What is the third point in this development?
I can develop the third point. I have to make the second point very clear, that labor will not be taxed so heavily, and the taxation, the capital gains will be more taxed. It's not about that you have no taxes, it is just you shift the burden from productivity to improductivity. So the improductive strata have to pay more taxes, and the productive taxes, productive strata will be a little bit safe from that. And C, the third point is a banking regulation.
Mm-hmm.
We have two options here. One is as 100% money narrow, so we have a full reserve system. Or we have a narrow reserve system. This is up to the people. If you want a little bit to make the banking sector maybe not boring, interesting, you maybe have a narrow banking sector, and you say, okay, you get 80% of reserves. So that's up to the people if they like to gamble. Then you get this narrow margin of 20% that try to gamble, speculation will be there, but it won't be so high as today. So it's up to us.
And that is the whole story of geonomics, as you introduced it in the conversations, that as part of the quantum economics philosophy.
Yes.
In quantum economics, we were talking about the need to change from the fictitious value of money to the real value of change,
yes,
as it is known in physics as the quantum.
Yes.
From there on, the realization came up that we need to have a better understanding not only of the, say, the physics of economy, of the true use of energy, but also about the decisions of the use of energy,
yes,
which is at the side of human sociology, human psychology.
Yes.
And it is there where you introduce the concept of geonomics. And now that we are addressing the application of geonomics, maybe you can tell a bit more about how that works in this social system. Because with the description of Henry George, you focused on the way that he describes that the principle of taxation can be revised. But of course, the other part of that, and that came up in the earlier interviews, that it is also about the way the individuals work together in groups,
yes,
and how the groups work together in larger groups.
Yes.
And it seems that at that level, there is no great understanding, because of a lot of the laws that people use, they work by a principle of abstraction. And I always like to refer to the work of Philip Zimbardo, who says that at the moment that you go to greater abstraction, basically people lose the connection with whatever it is, and the possibility that the good turns into evil is all too great. And that's also what you see in corporations, that basically they are the legal equivalent of a slave state, but then they treat the people in it as slaves, but they plunder the land around them, because the legal system is that there is only one requirement for a corporation, which is to produce money. So in a way, we need to shift back from that concept of money as a measure to, on the one hand, quantum as a measure, but on the other hand, that is something which you have kept on bringing up again and again, that we need to have something like ethics as a measure.
Of course.
Could you elaborate a bit on that, because that has not been entered into very much in our discussions.
Yeah, Zimbardo. At first I would like to refer to Zimbardo. The mind is a predatorian prison. Was one of his articles. I personally had the chance to meet him in Aachen, at the Technical University. And of course, this is a very interesting point about the mental prison. Zimbardo talks about the mental prison.
Yeah.
And that, of course, is indeed a prison. I can tell you stories about a lot of people that I actually know. They are, I would call them rich, but they are living in a mental prison. And be they whatever religion, it's not important what religion they have. And so this is, of course, not my point. My point is, as you have understood, is a general legal reform. A general legal reform. With three steps, we already had that. I don't want to repeat it, otherwise it would become boring.
I've noted them in the notes.
Yes, yes. And otherwise it would become boring. And on the eco-energetic point of view, is of course has to do with, I would call it biblical ethics. I don't say it doesn't have to do with biblical writings, but this was only a starting point, as I said when I was a young child. Where get I some inspiration? I could only get inspiration from people who had some ethics. I didn't get the inspiration from other people. People had some higher ethics, and I wrote into the text. And I saw this text synthetic. And now what you ask is not the banking reform. You know, we have a multi-level, so a genomic system will be a multi-level society. It won't be a society where just people sit in their garden and do some, I don't know, grow some plants. This is one level. If people want to do that, they can do it. But the genomic level of society is something like an ecological built up of a society. The society builds up ecologically, slowly. And if people would paid for having children, I don't know. Many people ask me, no, will I get money if I will have children? I don't know. This is, of course, it can be discussed. But this is not the main point. The main point is, can people live a normal life? Can they build their talent? Can they develop in means their heart, not only desires, but soul desires? And what we have today is completely the opposite. We have a system that forces people to do things they don't want to do. And that's not healthy. And that causes the many diseases, because people have to do something. It's not about getting up at 5 o'clock. I have rabbits, two rabbits here. I get up every day at 4:30 and I put them out, because I like to put them out. And if they make one move in the box, I know they want to get out, and I put them out because I wanted to do it. This is the difference. It's about motivation. And I'm motivated, and I like if they get outside, and now they enjoy the nature. No, and this is what we have to teach, maybe, that you have to be motivated. You have to do things that you like. And genomics can realize this goal, but not, it is not Marxism. Again, it is not a great idea. It's a very pragmatic way of dealing with things. That's the difference. We will count, of course, this type of land is situated central, we'll tax it more, and it's a little bit, I would call it, in these terms, materialistic too. Of course, we'll see this guy is sitting on the land, is has more value, so we'll tax him more. That's a normal thing. But
Stephen, what you're saying now is essentially that there is a difference from looking at things from your own perspective, or things looking at this from the perspective of the other.
Yes.
The individual perspective is often called capitalism. The perspective of the other is called communism. You said that this doesn't work if this is imposed by a rule from outside.
Yes.
And you've now gone into the development of the idea that we need to be self-referencing, but also able to take the other as a reference.
Yes.
And that we can be self-inspired, but we can also be inspired by others.
Definitely.
And in a way, this is what physics would call the shift of the event horizon. That's a term of the theory of relativity. Classical theory basically had a model which took no consideration of limitations of any kind. It just regarded everything as unlimited. Then Einstein's theory basically drew a large circle around everything and called that the event horizon. The circle beyond which we cannot really discern what's going on. Quantum theory then looked at the rim of that circle and said, okay, if you go from one side to the other, you basically need to do a quantum leap from the inside perspective to the outside perspective. And of course, field theory now tries to be on that rim, on that event horizon, on that pivot point between the part and the whole. And this seems to be something that you've brought up again and again in the conceptualization of quantum economics, of geonomics. We discussed it in the socionomics. And now it becomes very clear that this ethics or the morality has to do with the ability to shift the event horizon and to do things from the perspective of your own life, but also the life of the rabbit that you live with and that live with you, the people that live in your household,
definitely.
But also the neighbors. And it is as if at that level people do not have, say, a Swiss pocket knife which is able to address with all these different things at the same time. So to look at the individual, to look at the relationship with others, to look at the group event, to look at humanity as a whole, it is as if these things are as separate as thinking, feeling, wanting and being, which of course actually exist in different dimensions. They operate different domains in our body. We actually have four different brains in the head, in the heart, in the gut and in our cells. And this is what you now seem to address, and that something like that is needed in the environment of economics, specifically from the perspective of geonomics.
Yes.
So do you have examples of, say, a moral compass which has this capacity, like the Swiss pocket knife, that you can apply to the individual, but to the collective also, that you can apply to humans, but also to nature, and so on?
It's a nice question. I try to respond to it. As long as we have such a monetary system, it will be difficult, because all monetary system is based on an emission of values that do not exist. So people can live from something they never worked for. And you were not asking on an individual level, but not on a group level, not on a social level, but on a large scale level. And on a large scale level, I only can tell you that we have to regulate banking. Very easy.
Yeah.
And we have to regulate banking, and so they should not be able to treat land as a collateral. And then we go ahead. Then, we, of course, labor will be taxed, but not in such high dimensions. And, of course, we'll have also, they can speculate, but afterwards some percent of the speculation will go to us, so for the general public. And if we apply a banking system that's more narrow, then we won't have such, these types of pains that we have today. And we will, so it's what the Bible teaches, America, Declaration of Independence. So we have all these documents that are progressive, are pointing to this direction. We just have to apply it. And in little scale, in the little scale in Alaska, and you also brought the example for Norway, in a little scale it functions, but on the large scale we have to make it public law. We have to forbid these types of economic action. It's only one chance. This is criminal. It's a criminal. No, it's very important to mention, because folks said about maybe the gangs are behind, and these people or that people are doing it. We have just to say it's public law. If you do it, okay, then you pay taxes, and that's it. So and from these taxes you cannot again not pay such a big state, but will finance the state that can have this medical insurance, this all things, social market economy. So Ludwig Erhard here in this at that time, Invest Germany was inspired by Oppenheimer. And Oppenheimer wrote this very essential book of ownership of private and public land. So you have to delve into the history of economics. And if you understand the working body, then you understand that now again the system has been captured by criminals. It's a criminal type of gangs. They have captured it, and it doesn't matter if they're Christian, Jewish, or Islam, or so, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, because the main operation type is not good. So if you go okay, you get you will profit. It's okay, but you have to watch. You're killing other people, and this is even what this new Catholic Pope said. Pope Francis said, this type of economic system is killing people, and this is not allowed, and we cannot allow that. And on the other hand, of course, I understand that technology is very high, you have to go to the supermarket, everything is there, okay, but not everywhere. So this is why these many people are coming here. No, this is why the people are coming here, because they want the shelves being full.
In a way, you're talking about the shift that we need to regard economy as the instrument, just like a hammer, and that is the mentality of the user that determines it.
Yes.
And in that sense, that people are not aware that they determine the value of the economy. Which is also the concepts that I work with. This is of in this philosophy of the Earth Bank, that basically people first need to decide what they want to do, then they communicate that with each other, which can give them added value with respect to each other, after which they can work together, which basically means that they create a currency between them in the communication of their productivity. And at the end result, they all have a share in the product that they have created, be it the party on the beach or be it a new fruit garden or whatever.
Perfect, and a very good idea. Very good idea, and this now is maybe in the first stage, and if we work on these things, then it will afterwards, in maybe 30, 40 years, will be reality. So it's now we won't have it in 10 years, and so a longer time is needed, and that, and a new generation, you know, generation 18 years, people are grown up, so 20 years just to count, and what is happening today is even the Dalai Lama said, so it's not my reference point, the Dalai Lama. Also, my cousin is a very active Buddhist. He said that many people are already spoiled. They're spoiled already. So it has to be acknowledged. And if they're spoiled, they're spoiled. It doesn't matter if they're Jewish or Christian or whatever. Not the reference. They have not done good. In our terms, you know, our terms are very easy. Sustaining, did it sustain human life? Does it harm other people or not? Yeah. This is our criteria.
I'd like to add a different perspective to that.
Please.
Because the notion that some people are spoiled, of course, I operate this gear within me of the doctor mind as well. And from the perspective of the medical doctor or the healer, it is possible to look into the way people are damaged, and the money economy is damaging. The people who live in the money economy are literally money slaves. They are addicts. But
definitely,
in that sense, when people are damaged or when they are addict, yes, there is a way out of it, but you just need to be clever enough to see how to do that. Of course, one of my interests is to look into techniques of healing, which are based on the realization that we are not our body, but that our body is created by living cells, which actually use atomic forces to produce the molecules, to produce the materials that form our body.
Very good.
And that the basis of that bodily integrity is the communication between the cells. So at one level, that is the physiology, and at another level, it's the mind. At another level, it's our sociology. At another level, it's our ecology. But then, at that level, it is possible to find solutions for these damaged people, because in most often, in most cases, the addiction of a people or the dependency of a people is that somebody else makes them dependent or keeps them dependent. In the same way, medical doctors have now become dependent on patients because they need the patients for their income. as a result, they will not try to eradicate diseases. Doctors and the medical industry will actively prevent preventive healthcare. So in economy, we can apply the same principle and realize that we need to look not at the problems and the symptoms, but the other side of it. As you said, if you look at the history of economy, you can see what had happened, but you can also see what went wrong. And that is the essence of healing. And that you don't look at the disease or the symptoms, but that you look at the normal functioning of the body and see what happened as a result of which something else could find a place within the body next to the healthy process.
Okay.
And that's a different kind of healing. That would be very nice to connect that to geonomics.
First, I'm not a physician, not an engineer, not a physicist. I am a social scientist, very well trained in statistics and these things. I have a good connection to the world of labor, so tool making, all these things. You know, what is the essence of the modern society, the essence of the modern society, modern capital as it evolved. That's a very important point. Health, I think, is absolutely dependent on your own actions. So if you think health is something you can buy in a shelf, then you're absolutely misled. And a physician is a very important coining in English. Because, of course, I was 2 years in first aid, and I saw the people who were in front of me and that I didn't know. So it's very important. I didn't know them. And, of course, I had to go by the physical indexes. What are they responding afterwards? Started talking. So I really rigidly went after the physical index, and afterwards, okay, talking what is those and all the things I was asking. Actually, most things I was in German, or if they were Turkish, of course, I spoke to Turkish to them, not send them all these things. And then you understand, okay, it's a physical, you cannot deny that we are physical human beings. But the most important that we have also, we have emotions, we have thoughts. We are not just bodies. And we are something more. And genomics exactly says that. Genomics is about, the earth is there. But genomics is about, let us leave the kind and other things and let us move forward. It's actually a non-killing policy. It is about non-killing other people, and genomics is then maybe you cannot eat 1 kilo meat, just eat a half of it. So it's such like
or
a scaling, yes, or not at all. It's scaling down of abnormal. Concerning human beings' abnormal behavior, and it's not I would call it a non-killing. At the end, will be I have to open the door for my daughter. She made a problem with the key. I go out and I come back. 1 minute. Jörg. No, Tessie. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, so what you're talking about now is about the basis of our action. From my perspective, we are not physical, but our body is physical because the cells make it so.
Yes.
And the cells have grown to be physical over millions of years.
Definitely.
And so, yes, there's a physicality to our body, but that is just a consequence of the cells producing the materials as a result of which is how the form and the recipe for that form is contained within the DNA, which is basically built up as a memory trace of the ancestors that lived before us.
Yes.
But at the other level, we are looking at the psychology within people and the psychology between people, which we see as a sociology. And that's where we have this strange concept of what people would call belief. And the problems are not in the level of the actions, which is basically the counterpart of what we do in describing ourselves as having a body. But the actions, which are by reflex, are based on beliefs. And
Yes.
something which is rarely addressed in economics, but is evidently the case in the hidden side of economics, where you see that advertising, propaganda, mass manipulation, and the media industry try to advocate what people should believe.
Yes.
And in that manufacturing of belief, and Noam Chomsky is very explicit on that it happens and how it works, and how language is used to abuse that. That it is at that level of beliefs that people need to make a choice, and that nations and religions are both equally guilty of belief manipulation. In fact,
Yes.
often the ruler of a king
Yes.
will say that he's God appointed, while the ruler of that specific religion will say that God has said so. So it's one person telling the other that they have a mutual position, which is based on what people would sometimes call the mutual adulation society, the one applauding the other and back again. And it seems that there's something very laudable going on, but in fact, both of it is a sham. And beliefs and superstition are very similar. And so geonomics, in the way that you present that idea as compared to economics, has something to do with that true belief or the false belief.
Yes.
Economics has to do with the superstition of money, and geonomics has to do with this given that Earth is here and we live on it.
Yes, it is very easy. As we have this on the website, genomics will do to economics what astronomy did to astrology or chemistry to alchemy. So we have a process now that economists move from call it religion to science. We had the same in astrology towards astronomy. We had it in other disciplines too. So we what we will have is a transition from religion to science, nothing else. And what we'll have more is we'll cut off, of course, from the cannibalist humans. So these people who are cannibalists will cut off their resources. So that's for sure. And so there cannot be no more such cannibalists. So they cannot do this thing what they did. So that's all. We should cut off them from cannibalism and from eating up. One guy was very nice. He said, "What is globalism? It's a cooking book for cannibalism." Yeah, it's I don't know, cooking book or something like this. The cuisine, he said it in French, cooking book for cannibalism. So of course, and what is our ethics? Why are we talking now? Because we have a high ethical morale. We think while we are talking, we could say, okay, you can do this, you can do that. While we are talking, we're talking because we have a higher ethical aim. That is the reason why we are talking. Then you can also ask, is this a genetic problem? Do we have a genetic problem? Maybe we have a genetic problem that we act from this source, Cain Abel, and we're from, what I mean, we are stemming maybe from, I don't know this, but the meaning of our conversations is that we want humanity survive on this globe. We have a rational and moral aim. And of course, one can say, well, these idiots are talking for an hour, and they want to do something good. Okay, no good deed remains unpunished. Very nice sentence. But on the other hand, you have an obligation to do something. And this is why we are talking. We are not only talking because we want to talk. We have a name. And this is very important to register, because otherwise entertainment, you can do many other things, and many other things that may be more pleasant. Then we had this nice spaghetti in Bella Italia. We can eat every day spaghetti, Fila. We are such poor people that we cannot eat spaghetti. But we are not just these guys, spaghetti Napoli, no bolognese, it was me. But we, our aim is we want to define the perception, we want to define the viewpoints in the of course, in this case, economic sphere. Yes, I say it's important how you live. Can you finance yourself? Will you have medical insurance? As I am myself, I come from a workers' background. Of course, we were talking about subjects like what is about if I get old, do I have medical insurance and all these things, of course. Was a great topic, and in this case, I would, as I, in my when I was younger, I was in the social democratic movements, was interesting. Willy Brandt, Olof Palme, Soares, all these things were very interesting. Bruno Kreisky, you know, was very interesting to meet these people personally. And was social democracy is not against any market system. It just says the working people need some payoff. And it cannot be that the other side takes over. It's not, it cannot be that way. And I think it's social market economics is from the all of the proved systems and all of what has been tried out the best empirical result. And we will see it works better than any other system, because that is what actually makes people, they can travel in a vacancy, do vacancies and all these things, you know. The it does not guarantee ethical abuse or if people, I don't know, every day they have time and you know about problems. I know these problems. My wife has to deal with the sexual abuse and all these things. Oh, that's not pleasant, because many people are sitting all in their rooms, you know, and don't know what to do. And it's a problem, but it's, I think it's, it doesn't concern the majority of people.
Yeah, so her help work and your help work are complementary to each other. She works with other people in their home settings. You work with people in their settings of their environment.
Yes.
This is also the time to come to a round off. We are close to the end of the recording session, of the our timeline.
Yes, yes.
I would like to bring it to a close in summarizing what we have just addressed. In this conversation, the aim was, and you said how important the aim is, the aim was to see the application of geonomics.
Yeah.
We discussed essentially the difference between economy and geonomy, as the difference between using money as a measure or using the earth and resources as a measure. We also addressed that it is not just about the accounting of resources, but more important about the debate on which resources are used for what, which is the collaboration between people. We sort of passed by the notion that there is a difference between individualism as capitalism or collectivism as communism, and that we need to come to something which transcends all of that, where people are able to extend their event horizon and see themselves as individuals, as humans, but also as humanity, as a collective. And
very
that
good.
Is where the conversation went into the understanding that there we need to be very careful about our beliefs, especially even more careful about the superstitions.
Yes.
And of course, as we approach each other from different perspectives, we see ourselves from the inside, but we see the others from the outside. We still need to be able to discern between the difference between beliefs and superstitions, or between economy and oikonomia, so to say.
Yes. Yeah,
and
very good.
That essentially has given a kind of solution for what you addressed as the essence of what needs to be put central in the understanding of geonomics, that it is a social communication in which every individual will take part.
Yes.
So that would be something to be explored separately, which is in fact one of the topics of socionomics. So maybe at some point we could go into that. And for now, I'd like to ask you to round off this session, but in your rounding off, also see if we have now covered geonomics as you wished to address it, or if there are further topics which you wish to explore.
Okay, I tried to round it off. The most important, as I told, is to understand that we do not allow the natural resources as a collateral for banks or for bank loans. So we have to remove totally from the bank loans the possibility of collaterals for natural resources. Land value has become public revenue. That does mean that we have ample resource to finance ourselves. What we have today is much opposite. Point B is we decrease taxation on labor and we'll increase the taxation of capital gains. That does mean actually interest. C, therefore, for the housing needs some kind of banking regulation. We can have a 100% money system or narrow banking system. People will decide if they want 80% systems of the rest and switch off, like Hyman Minsky wanted about this boom and bust. We can discuss it. But people have to get aware of the thing that these many problems that we have not enough jobs, not enough houses, so the main problem that every Western country and of course any developing country is facing, this we can only solve by the geonomic system. This is the only way out. And therefore, people have to delve into these writings of Henry George, and we'll have free trade. We have everything. It's, as I said, Marxists will accuse us of reforming capitalism. It's not reforming capitalism. It's something like a social market economy, social market economy, a system of people who want to work. It's not a people a system for people who don't want to work. That's for sure. So, not a rent-seeking society, an interest-seeking society, what we have today. Today we have a rent-seeking, interest-seeking society, they're parasitic, as you, that's your wording, Otto. You always using the word of the parasite. In this case, I would apply the term. The rent-seekers and the interest-seekers are parasitic. But we have to grab them the water off. We don't give them water. That is the way. And it doesn't matter who they are. That's the most important. They can be of any ethnic origin. These people, well, of course, are killing
Stephen,
humanity.
Most important, you
yes.
said that it's, you can never say what anybody else can do, but you can only decide what you want to do yourself.
Yes.
And that seems to be the pivot of what you have described in this series of conversations.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
This is where we probably need to round off, for the simple reason that there is a limit to the quality
okay.
of the recording after with
okay,
the kind of time line on that.
Okay.
So I'll end the recording here, and I'll come back to you for a further evaluation.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.